Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
Our Father, we thank You today for Your blessings, for all that You've done in our lives. Father, I thank You for what You're going to do, Father. Not only do I thank You for what You've already done, but for what You're going to do. And Father, I ask that Your anointing upon this word today as it goes forth. We've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I was sitting in my office preparing the message, I typed the date 9/10/19, fully aware that tomorrow would be 9/11/2019. And as I was thinking about that, thoughts began to flood my mind of a morning that happened 18 years ago on 9/11/2001. And I recall I was sitting at my desk at the job I had at that time, working on the computer, and I began to hear reports of an airplane that had crashed into the World Trade Center, Twin Towers in New York City. And I thought at the time, in 1945, there was an airplane that crashed into the Empire State Building, which happened to be the tallest building at that time, during a heavy fog. And I'm thinking, well, it's most likely an accident, but, you know, with all of today's modern technology and things that they have to prevent accidents of that nature, how did such an accident happen? Maybe it was just a small aircraft, because that's happened before. But then word comes that a second plane has crashed into the second of the Twin Towers. And then, a short time later, word comes that one has crashed into the Pentagon. And you can see the look on people's faces as they were sitting around me. I went downstairs to the cafeteria where they had a television and they were showing on the news some of the events that were going on. And I recall going back to my office, to my desk, logging into a website for a radio station in Los Angeles, which I had listened to for a number of years. In the past, that had news 24 hours a day and was listening to what was coming from their viewpoint, what information they were getting. Then word comes, a fourth aircraft has crashed into a vacant field. This happening after some of the passengers realized what was going on, that their plane had been hijacked, that the other buildings had been hit, and some of them decided they were going to take the plane down before it could crash into another building. Doing this possibly saved hundreds of lives, maybe even thousands, who knows. Approximately 3,000 people died that day within a matter of a couple of hours. Hundreds more died later over a period of years from complications that were related to that attack. And during that time, people were in somewhat of a panic for the days that followed. Gas stations were shut down for a while in some areas. It was hard to travel. Airports were shut down. People didn't know what to do. What is going to come next? On the days that followed, churches were crowded with people. Over the next few weeks, as a matter of fact, as people became scared, they became frightened. What's going to happen next? And they sought God. But as the weeks passed, as things went along, those who were flooding the churches stopped going. Attendance dwindled back down to the figures it had been before this attack took place. Also during that time, in the months that followed, America stood strong and united as a nation, vowing that we would never forget. We will never forget what happened on 9/11/2001. But here we are. It's almost 9/11/2019. 18 years later. I don't see all that much mention of it. I do know that on one of the calendars I have in my office here, I looked at today and saw that tomorrow is marked Patriots Day. So yes, it's been declared a holiday, but it's not observed. We've forgotten. It's quite simple as that, and I don't mean to get political, but we've done things as a nation that shows we have forgotten what happened. Millions have forgotten. Oh, I know there are some people, myself being one included, doesn't forget. But I look around. You hardly hear mention of it anymore. Forgotten. Oh, we vowed so strongly that we would never forget. But we've forgotten. Now we see events taking place in our nation. Acts of terrorism, both domestic and foreign, that are taking place. We see things around the world getting worse and worse and worse. We've forgotten what happened 18 years ago. So you might say, well, what does this have to do with the message for today? Why are you bringing this up? After all, I'm listening to you in another country. What does it have to do with me? Because in some cases, your country, your nation, your people are witnessing some of the same events in the sense that you've had things happen that you said you would never forget, but you've forgotten. In the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, Moses has been leading the children of Israel for the last 40 years. He started leading them out of Egypt's bondage at the age of 80. There's not a whole lot of people around anymore at the age of 80, let alone that could do something like that. But at the age of 80, God commissioned him to lead the children of Israel back to the promised land and out of Egypt's bondage. And now we get to the book of Deuteronomy, the last book of what's called the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And Moses is standing before the people, and he's reviewing the events of the past 40 years, because shortly time will come that they will cross the Jordan River and enter into the promised land. They've been en route, some of them, for 40 years. They're going to a land that has been promised them by Adonai God. It's their inheritance. It's the land that was promised to their forefather Abraham. And soon they will be crossing the Jordan River and be back in the territory that God had given them hundreds of years earlier. His audience, the people he was speaking to at that time, was himself, Joshua, Caleb, and the millions of people that made up those that were getting ready to cross the Jordan. But with the exception of Moses, Joshua, and Caleb, they were all under the age of 69. Moses, 120 years. Long life. He's not crossing the Jordan. He's not going into the promised land. God has other plans for Moses. Joshua and Caleb, they're going to take over the leadership, leading them into the promised land. They were the spies that 40 years earlier had brought back a good report. But the people had forgotten that God had delivered them out of Egypt and what God could do. And as a result, all who were at the age of 20 and older never saw, never set foot in the promised land. Now we'll have to add a brief addendum there. There were 10 spies that went. They came back, but they never possessed the promised land. You can read about that in Numbers chapter 14, verse 29. Moses says to them in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 23, "Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord God hath forbidden." In other words, he's saying in a little more modern English, watch yourselves so that you do not forget the covenant of Adonai your God, which he cut with you, and make for yourselves graven images in the form of anything that Adonai your God has forbidden you. Don't forget what God has said. Don't forget what's in the Ten Commandments. Don't forget the things that God has blessed you with. Moses goes on to tell the people what will happen if they forget the covenant that God has made with them. Think about it. A journey that should have taken months has taken 40 years. Because just a short period of time after they were delivered from Egypt's bondage, they had crossed the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army had been drowned in the Red Sea. God has done all of these miracles getting them out. And Moses is gone for a brief period of time. And they make a golden calf and begin to worship a false god. They had forgotten the God that had delivered them from Egypt's bondage. They had forgotten the God that was taking them back to the promised land. As a result, as I said earlier, only those who were under the age of 20, along with Joshua and Caleb, finally set foot in the promised land. As we continue to read the Old Testament and into the New Testament, we find times when the children of Israel, they suffer the consequences of forgetting God's word, forgetting what God has told them, worshiping strange gods, false gods. And many times, the consequences were dire. A couple of occasions, They went back into bondage for a period of time. Finally, getting up to the New Testament period, around AD 70, scattered to the four corners of the earth. Only as recently as 1948, close to 3,000 years, or at least, I'm sorry, close to 22,000 years there, get it straight, that they were separated from their homeland because they forgot God. I'm going to skip to the present day. Not only have millions of Americans forgotten the God that they cried out to in the days following 9/11/2001. Not only have the people forgotten, but the churches, and I realize the church that we call, what we usually call the church, is only a building, the physical structure. The people are the church. But the church has forgotten the commandments and covenants that God has spelled out in His Word. Millions sit in our churches today on Sunday hearing a message that God loves you. No matter what you do, God loves you and you're going to heaven. Some even preaching a false gospel that it doesn't matter whether you ever accept God, you're going to heaven anyway, whether you like it or not. Everybody's going. Others preaching messages of wealth, other kinds of messages, how to prosper, all of these things except the truth of the Word of God. For years, we have opened each program, whether it be on radio or whether it be on the internet, with part of the phrase, sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Letting you know that God loves you, and I want you to know that God does love you. But I want you to remember also that He can also be a God of wrath. God has set boundaries, which many times we as a people don't want to recognize. We don't want to think of God as a God who has boundaries. In today's society, we want to think of God as a God who has an open door policy, that anyone can enter in to heaven. In fact, we want to think that heaven has no boundaries at all. There's no walls, there's no gates, yet the Bible is full of it. We want to say that we are serving a God who is tolerant of sin. But I want you to remember, throughout the Scripture, throughout all 66 books of the Bible, God shows that He does not tolerate sin, nor the breaking of the covenant He has made with man. I've been reading over the last couple of weeks the books of Isaiah and Jeremiah, and I told my wife in several of the chapters as I read them what Jeremiah and what Isaiah were writing to the children of Israel 2,000 plus years ago. If you didn't realize and know that he was writing to that people then, you would say he's describing some of the things that are going on in the world today, because they were doing some of the very same things that people are doing today. They have forgotten God. There's a lot of important things in the Scripture and in the Word of God that we need to remember, and a lot of the world seems to have forgotten. John 3:16. I know I've quoted that Scripture on this program over and over and over again. I couldn't tell you how many times it's been quoted on here. Most famous Scripture in the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I like one of the newer translations, the Tree of Life version, and the way it writes it out, translating it from the ancient language. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God loves us so much that he gave his Son, that if we believe in him, we can have eternal life. But it seems like, though, that a lot of the world today has forgotten that first part, or excuse me, the latter part of it. Yeah, we remember God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. But we forget about the part. We've got to believe in him. We've got to accept him. We've got to acknowledge what he did for us on the cross of Calvary, or we're not getting the eternal life that God is speaking about in this scripture. Who is God's Son? Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 33, it describes an event that took place 2,000 years ago. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to be a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored with the Lord. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And with that pronouncement, saying that Mary is going to conceive a child, is conceived of the Holy Spirit, and that child is the Son of God, and he is going to reign over the house of Jacob forever, that he's going to be the one that pays the price for your sin. Oh, comes Christmas time. Coming up in a few months, we decorate, we shop, we buy presents. We talk about the baby Jesus in the manger. But so many times we forget that he came with a purpose and a plan. And that was to bring redemption, that was to bring salvation to all those who would accept what he was going to do. He came knowing that the day would come that his life would be given, his blood would be shed on the cross of Calvary. He came knowing that on the third day he would rise from the grave in his supernatural body, the Son of God, our Redeemer, our Savior, having paid the sacrifice for our sins. Hebrews 9:22 says, And almost all things by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. It's talking about the price that he paid for your sin. And we go then to chapter 9, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He paid the price for our sins. If we accept him, then his blood covers our sins, pays the price. It also says that he's coming again for us. But let's back up one verse. Verse 27, And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You see, We read these verses, but some we want to forget. Appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. The Complete Jewish Bible, verse 27, reads this way, just as human beings have to die once, but after this comes judgment. All of us, and don't forget this, but the world as a whole has. We will all stand before God in judgment. Christians who have been saved by the sacrifice that Jesus offered on the cross will be appearing at the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10 tells us that, for it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now there are some people who think that, well, I'm going to get to heaven because I've done good works. After all, I've done a lot of good works. I had a man one time tell me, in fact, he owned an employment agency and I got jobs through his agency when I was younger. He told me one time about all the good deeds he did, how he went to the missions on Skid Row and helped serve the food, how he did this, how he did that. He was planning to get there by works. It doesn't work that way. Some think they're going to get there via some other God, some other way. But you know what? Some of those men who claimed they were gods, who were worshipped as gods, are going to be standing before God as well. Every atheist and every agnostic, whether they believe in God or not, will stand before God at what we call in the Bible the Great White Throne Judgment. Revelations chapter 20, verses 11 through 12 tell us this, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And then in verse 15 it says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's a time coming. And don't forget this. There's a time coming when at some point every person who's ever been born will stand before God. They will either stand before God as a redeemed individual, one who's accepted what Jesus did on the cross of Christ, and they will stand and what I mentioned earlier is the judgment seat of Christ, and where they will receive their rewards for what they did in this body. The rest, everyone who never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, will stand before God in that last judgment, the Great White Throne Judgment. And the outcome? Cast into the lake of fire for eternity. The Bible says it burns forever and ever. I'm so glad that Jesus came. I'm so glad that Jesus died for my sins. And I'm glad that as a young man I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. You don't have to be a certain age. You don't have to be a certain sex. You don't have to be a certain skin color. You don't have to speak a certain language to be saved. All you've got to do is ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and say, Jesus, I know that you died on the cross for my sins. And I accept today what you did on Calvary's cross. I ask now that your blood would wash away my sin. And that, Father, one of these days, I too will be in heaven with you. I thank you for what you've done in my life and what you're doing for me now. And if you do that, you'll be saved. Now I want to stress something you don't hear stressed very often. When you pray that prayer, it's got to come from the heart. Not just words repeated, but it's got to come from the heart. So never forget, there are two choices in life. Choice number one is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Become a child of God, have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and one day you'll stand, yes, in judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, where your rewards will be handed out to you. Or, don't forget the other choice. The other choice is simply do nothing. And one day you'll stand before God at what's called the Great White Throne Judgment. What you did on this earth will be reviewed, but your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And God will say these words, depart from me. I never knew you. The words no one wants to hear. Father, today, I ask now as this message goes out, that it would touch hearts and lives, that those who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior would accept Him today. I ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.